Support for WPR comes from UW-Superior Center for Continuing Education, offering Conversations on Living Alone, a three-part series beginning Wednesday, April 17th via Zoom. Details at uwsuper.edu. Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy, committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
When is the last time you attended a family reunion? Was it a memorable and worthwhile experience? Have you ever planned a family reunion? How hard was that? We'll talk with two guests about the importance of family reunions and how we can make them fun and memorable and meaningful. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, August 20th. What are some things we can do to make our family reunions more memorable and meaningful? How do we get everyone together, especially if our relatives live all over the country? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Join in with your questions, your memories, and your advice. Let me welcome our guests, and we have two experts. Ione Vargas is a professor emerita of social administration at Temple University. She founded the university's Family Reunion Institute to help African Americans strengthen their extended family ties. Good morning. Oops, I'm sorry, I don't have the right buttons pushed. Now I do. Good morning, Ione.
Good morning. I'm pleased to be here.
I'm pleased to have you here. We also are pleased to have with us Edith Wagner, the editor of Reunions Magazine, a Milwaukee-based guide for people planning family, class, military, or other reunions. Good morning, Edith.
Good morning, Joy, and Ione.
And I know that both of you do workshops on organizing family reunions from time to time. I noticed you had one not that long ago. So it's good to have you both together on the show to help us plan and discuss the importance of family reunions. Ione, let me start with you. Tell us more about why you founded the Family Reunion Institute at Temple University.
All right. It came about basically because I had gone to my own family reunion. We had been trying to get together for many years. An uncle of mine who was a self-made black historian had wanted to pass on some of the family history. And we finally got together, and it was such a wonderful experience. I thought, oh, why don't we, I wonder if other people have this great experience. And so when I had gotten back to work, I was telling about my family reunion, and I found that secretaries had them and students had them and all of that. So I thought I'd better study that. And that's how I got into the research of family reunions and the extended family in particular. I was interested in.
And you found, though, that especially with African Americans, it can be difficult to locate the family tree.
Well, it takes a great deal of work to do that. We now have a variety of ways, much more now than we did when I began my research, which was almost 30 years ago. What I found, of course, was that the reunions really do have a number of benefits to help the family and strengthen the family, and that was my purpose, was to strengthen the extended family.
And, Edith, what about you? Well, tell us about why you decided to get involved with Reunions Magazine.
Joy, it was such a fluke that I don't have anything as specific as Ione's experience. In fact, Kathleen Dunn, one of your program people at was sort of responsible for it. 25 years ago, she had a show where she was talking about reunions, but they were different kinds of reunions. They were reunions of adoptees and birth parents. And that's basically where the whole thing started. But as I got involved in doing a magazine, I discovered that there wasn't much audience for the kind of thing that I had in mind. But everybody kept saying to me, oh, but let me tell you about my family reunion. I would talk to people about, you know, whether or not this the adoptee birth parent would be interesting. And they said, nah, not really, because they really it wasn't something personal for them. But as I went along, I found out all these other kinds of reunions and just sort of started going in that direction. And the magazine is almost 25 years old.
I think that, what a coincidence. I had no idea that you had a Wisconsin Public Radio connection as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, she was, I'm sorry, she
right.
wasn't at Wisconsin Public Radio at the time.
Right. She was with another Milwaukee radio station. But anyway,
that's
let's
right.
let's talk, Edith, bringing this back, why would we want to throw a family reunion in the first place?
You would want to do that to keep your family members connected. We've done a number of surveys, and the one thing that comes through time and time again is that parents want to keep their children connected with their relatives. And I think a lot of that has to do with the way families are living apart now, and the family reunion becomes that one individual family holiday that they create, that they get together. That's not Christmas, and that's not Thanksgiving. That's a time, sometime during the year, where everybody decides that they're going to get together. And it, for many families, one of the things we discovered, and Ione knows this too, that many families, almost 50%, 48% of families, have a reunion every year. This is not, when we started the magazine, I thought that this was sort of a wedding kind of thing, you know, once in a lifetime. But that's not true at all. Many families, this is the only way they can get together. And so they have this annual meeting that they get together and have some fun.
That's really something, because this summer was the first summer in a very long time that I helped organize a very mini family reunion. It was just the first cousins on my dad's side and those who lived kind of in the Midwest, not all over the country. And we got together just for a little afternoon at the park kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, you know, well, we should do this more often. And it was like, yeah, well, let's do it every 2 to 3 years. And in a way, it used to be the older generation that put it together, and now it's up to us. And we're pretty old ourselves.
I was going to say.
That's right.
It is up to what I would call,
of course, the younger generation now to do that. But there are some issues around that, because we're finding, or at least I'm finding, many people saying to me, but they won't do it. They don't take over the reunion, and obviously the older people, you know, are have been organizing and doing most of the work, and they do want to pass it on. So what we need to do is to encourage this would be the boomers, I guess.
Yep.
And then the millennium to take over these reunions.
So, Ione, why is it important to have family reunions?
Well, because so many important and valuable things get transmitted during the reunion. For African American families, of course, the revival in a way of a tradition, because you know that the African tradition was the what we call tribes were really an extended family, and continued to help each other, and it was just an economic unit and all of that. That of course got lost as slavery, when in fact families were, you know, torn apart. And so right after the emancipation, black families began to try to find their relatives, and certainly during the migration, as they went north, they stayed with the extended family. And I myself grew up with just having, you know, having your relatives all living in the same place, in the same neighborhood, same community, and being helped by so many of the neighbors. I happened not to have both parents in the family while I was a child. My father died when I was young, and my mother eventually, although she was a well-educated woman, couldn't get a job after he died because she was black and she was a woman. And eventually she did get a job and, you know, supported us and got all through, six of us through college. But the community is what really helped me. They, you know, the neighbors, they watched out for me. In those days, we didn't have to worry about whether you locked the door or not. But they watched out for me, made sure I studied, made sure that I took my piano lessons, and all of that. And and I think really that's probably why I'm actually really into the family reunion now, the extended family reunion.
Yeah, and Edith, your thoughts on why it's important for families to have to reunite?
Well, as I said, for many families, it's the only time that they get together. And it's for many families also, it's a structured getting together. So they acknowledge passage of, you know, people who have died between their reunions, or babies who are born, or people who have gotten married. It's a time to celebrate the family, to acknowledge the achievements of the family, and to have fun. I mean, the amount of fun that these people have is quite amazing. I go to several reunions every summer, not my own. Other families are very generous and invite me. And I'm always struck by, you know, how much fun they're having and how eager they are to see one another and catch up and you know, sort of find out what everybody's doing. They are amazing events, absolutely amazing events. And I think the one that you had with your cousins is pretty typical for a start, other than the fact that most reunions we found, again, doing surveys, start at funerals, where people say we have to meet under happier circumstances.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. Funerals had happened of the, I guess, of my father's siblings. My father had passed some time ago, and that's what it was let's get together when it's not a funeral. And
that's right.
And we will talk more about how to plan and how to have fun and how to make our family reunions memorable and meaningful. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your experiences. Did you attend a family reunion this year? Why does your family have reunions, or would you like to? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can share your family reunion memories, tips, and plans, and our two guests will offer their expertise as well. Ione Vargas, who is the founder of the Temple University Family Reunion Institute, and Edith Wagner, who is editor of the Milwaukee-based Reunions magazine. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about our family history and getting together with our family, and wondering, when is the last time you attended a family reunion? And to tell us what it was like. Was it memorable? Was it worthwhile? Have you ever planned a family reunion? We have two guests with us who are talking about the importance of family reunions, the fun of family reunions, the function of family reunions, and how we can make them fun and memorable. We're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your own advice. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. How often do you have the full-fledged family reunion? And who's in charge of it? Anyway, Well, we have Jason on Facebook who writes, "We had our family reunion last month. What a great way to keep in touch and to ensure future generations keep in touch. The larger, the better." Well, let's talk a little bit about that. Let's say I do want to take the reins on to plan the next family reunion and make it as big as possible. Try to get everybody on Dad's side to get together. Edith, where do I start?
Oh my boy, that's.
How does one start in planning a family reunion?
Yeah, it takes somebody like you with your cousins who says this is what we need to do, and just storm ahead and find out. First of all, you have to find out if other people are interested in doing it. And frankly, my feeling is that even if there are a couple of people who poo-poo the idea and say, "Oh, I don't want to do that," just keep going and collect the people who are interested. And those people who, you know, seemed uninterested at first are going to get very curious very quickly. But from my point of view, doing it alone it can be a fatal mistake, particularly with family reunion, because there should be more people involved, and more people should share the ownership of the reunion and the work to get it together.
So a committee, perhaps.
Committee, and there are lots of committees. I've heard from people who say the committee meetings are more fun than the reunion, which isn't fair. But one man said to me, "Oh, the food at the meetings is so good." So those are really mini family reunions when people are having committee meetings. The hardest part, unless the reunion is tagged to an anniversary or a birthday, you know, grandma's 90th birthday or your parents' 60th anniversary or something like that, the hardest things to do are select the date and the place. And it should be, you know, if you've never done a reunion before, starting a year in advance if you're expecting a large group of people is barely time enough. Because there are lots of things to do and lots of people that you have to be in touch with in order to get to that point.
Yeah, that's right. And
were those some of your problems?
Well, yeah. And I guess I was. It was such a small reunion. I did have a little bit of help, but for the most part, I thought I could just do it on my own just for this very small affair. But if we thought it would be a good idea to get more of the family involved, and not just speaking for myself personally, but anybody listening right now who would like to do something similar. Any thoughts on we have Jason saying the larger the better. Is that, do you agree?
Well, yes. And I think that there's, you have to depend on having a good bit of communication, over that period of time, letting people not only know when the date is and all of that, but keeping their interest going by communicating. And now, of course, while it used to have to maybe be done by telephone and letter, obviously the use of the technology that goes on now, it can be very helpful.
Yeah, Facebook was very helpful for this. I mean, in a way, yeah. a lot of us did reunite via Facebook, so that's how this became mm-hmm. possible.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And I think planning the activities, I found that really during my research that while families like to, the organizers always want to entertain the family, make sure they have a good time. This is when, however, the activities become really very important, because family reunions do transmit a great deal of beneficial all kinds of things. And so you'll see that there are values that get passed on. One of my major interests in watching family reunions is the identity that can get passed on to younger people. They get a sense of their identity, a sense of who they are. And as they see the role models in the family, people who've done, you know, pretty well, you'll see they begin to, you know, find others that they can really model after. I think my
favorite story is when I was at a reunion and these young men were said something about their uncle, and they were saying, gee, I hope we can be just like him. And I thought they meant business, that this was a reunion in South Carolina. The uncle was a businessman in South Carolina, and so they were saying they wanted to be like him. So I said, oh, you want to be a business, be in business when you get a little older? And they said, oh, no, we want to be like our uncle. Look how patient he is with the children. Well, it was the father who was, his wife was very involved in all of the activities and getting the activities together at the reunion, and meanwhile he was left to handle these three small children. And the young men were interested in what he was doing and wanting to be basically a good father. I think those are some of the wonderful things that happen at reunions.
Well, we'll talk about some of the other wonderful things that happen at reunions, and we will welcome your memories, your experiences. Why do you hold family reunions? What do you think the benefits of family reunions are? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Ione Vargas. She is a professor emerita of social administration at Temple University. She founded the university's Family Reunion Institute. And Edith Wagner is editor of Reunions Magazine, which is a Milwaukee-based guide for people planning family reunions and other reunions. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about family reunions. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the how and why of family reunions, the benefits of family reunions, and what we might do to organize, to plan a memorable and meaningful family reunion. How about you? Have you done a family reunion recently? Have you attended one? Have you planned one? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Why should we have a family reunion? I had one this summer, a small one, and I'm hoping to assist in planning a larger one, maybe next summer, maybe the summer after that. We'll have to see what the family wants. We are talking with two guests who have held workshops together on family reunions and planning family reunions. They are Edith Wagner, the editor of Reunions Magazine, which is a Milwaukee-based magazine for people planning family, class, military, or other reunions. And Ione Vargas, a professor emerita of social administration at Temple University. She founded the university's Family Reunion Institute to help African Americans strengthen their extended family ties. And Ione, just before news, we were talking with you a little bit about the benefits of family reunions. And one you said was the values that are passed on, the identity that is passed on from one generation to the next. What are some other benefits of a family reunion?
Well, I thank you. And I think it's clear that, you know, the love and concern that comes through as a result of the family, you know, people greet each other with joy. They're listening to some of the other family members talk about some of the things that they've accomplished and some of the problems that they might have. You know, getting that kind of love and concern that you see through the family. And, of course, the family reunions, because generally the organizers are trying very hard to have the family be, quote, entertained, obviously will often try to have a tour. a place, for instance, if you're in Philadelphia, like where I am, there are lots of things that
sure.
you can do, and so you get a tour. So there's a great deal of education that may go on. It's informal education, but it's an education that you wouldn't get, you know, ordinarily just through classroom attendance and so forth. So that is another really strong benefit. And then the whole business of communication. For instance, after you've met your cousins or whomever, you may begin to communicate more often. And I think that cousins and all are doing that maybe now, a lot of it through Facebook and the other social media. But even early on, before all of those things became available, people began sending cards and notices love to relatives. And I know that I have grand nieces and nephews. I send them, I send them email cards, maybe for mm-hmm. their birthdays and all. But it just continues that sense of love and concern that you may get that comes through in the reunion. And I think communication is very important, too.
Yeah. Edith, you mentioned in our last half hour that you have attended many family reunions of other families because you were invited. Tell us about, is there some memorable activities or new trends in reunions that you can share?
Well, I can tell you about a family not far from where I am in Newburg, Wisconsin. The Seidemann family has been meeting for 85 years, and that's not unusual, incidentally, and they still meet at the farm where the family was established. And each year, they really try very hard to top what they did the year before, and they're quite amazing that way. They usually have between 300 and 400 people,
wow.
And it's at the farm, and there are just tons and tons of activities going on. They have a very large committee that does children's activities. They really do entertain their children well. They always have some special games going on. They play bingo. Because it's at a farm, it's very conducive to people sitting around and talking. Large trees to sit under, and many groups of people. You know, the family reunion is a place where you also, if it's a very large family, like the Seidemanns, for example, you frequently meet people that you didn't realize you were related to. And the family is definitely still centered in the West Bend and Newburgh area, but they have people that come from all over the country every single year, and they have relatives now from Germany who attend occasionally.
Oh, well, let me bring in a caller.
That's a lot that for some families where they have family members or family groups who don't live in this country, they're usually very eager to have them come and you know attend a reunion so people can meet them.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about really reaching out to extended family all over the world. But let's go to Dean in Spooner first. Hi, Dean.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm good. So, are you someone who does reunions?
We have. My dad my mom and dad started a family reunion back in 1980, and it's been going every year since then. And of course, Mom and Dad have since passed, but the family still keeps it going. They thought it was pretty important that, you know, a family get together. They're eight kids that all grown and started their own families, and they just had this idea, and we just rotate, started with Mom and Dad, and then we would rotate oldest down to youngest and go to those various homes each year. And we've had the opportunity to... we're a singing family, so we usually put on the church programs in that host family's church every year. And so we sing for that. And now there's, you know, Mom and Dad's grandkids have kids of their own, and we keep it going. Unfortunately, we aren't able to have it at the home farm anymore, but It's just a good thing, and it's great. That's about the only time you get together and have an opportunity to sit down and talk about what your kids have done, what your grandkids have done.
Oh, that's what a great idea. So I like how you rotate it from oldest to youngest. But so how many people are showing up any given year, Dean?
I think the most we've ever had is probably up near 70. But usually it's in the 40s. The next generation, they're busy with their kids in events, and it gets difficult to get them all together. But we still run in the 40s and what have you, and there's always so much food. That's the reunions are famous for that, I guess, and it's all good food, and usually we're grilling and doing whatever. But it's a good time, and I know 5 years ago when my mom was talking about it in church, she had mentioned that she and Dad hadn't thought that it would ever go this long or be as big as it is, you know, but it's just something that they had an idea, and that idea has just grown every year, actually.
Oh, what a good idea. Any thoughts on that, Dion?
Well, I think that, yeah, I think that's really wonderful that the family has continued over this period of time, and that I do note that perhaps the, I think African-American family reunions tend to be larger than other groups, families. And this is generally, I would say it's usually in the neighborhood of about 150 people, although therefore we consider my own family reunion kind of small because we're lucky if we get 60 or 65 people. But that is one of the things that I've noted, and often they're 2 to 3 day activities because, of course, people are coming from around the country, and they don't want to just come for a picnic. So that's what brings them into having to do much more planning in terms of the activities that people do. But it really doesn't matter whether they're small or larger or what. I mean, we know that some families have as many as 5,000 people.
Wow.
But, it's pretty big. And then they have to break down into regions. They have to have, like, you know, they'll have maybe a really big one 1 year, and then the next year maybe it's a little smaller. They break down into regions and have maybe smaller ones. There are all kinds of variations, and yet still the certain some of those values that I've mentioned still come through. You know, that whole love and concern and the communication activities and the education that comes through through some of these activities that people plan for. So, I always feel that whoever is organizing the reunion really loves their family.
Yeah, and we have a break right now, and then we'll come back and we'll talk more with Ion Vargas, who is with the Temple University Family Reunion Institute, and Edith Wagner, who is the editor of the Milwaukee-based Reunions magazine. We're talking about family reunions, and we're welcoming your thoughts, your questions, your own advice on planning or organizing a family reunion. Also, any experiences, activities that you do. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Summertime is the season for family reunions. Did you have one? Are you still planning to have one? How often do you have your family reunions, or are you thinking of organizing a first time or a first time in a long time family reunion. Well, we have some advice for you. And we welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking about the importance of family reunions. We're talking about the function of them, talking about making them memorable and meaningful and a lot of fun. And we, again, welcome your thoughts and questions for our two guests, Edith Wagner, who is with Reunions Magazine, and Ione Vargas, who is with the Family Reunion Institute at Temple University. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, Jerry on Facebook writes, we have a reunion planned for next summer. The last one we had was in 2008. Being the family genealogist, I prepared for our last get-together by bringing forms and family tree charts. I created them for all to see. Since then, the family has added photos or helped edit names, dates, places. I also brought a computer and a scanner to the reunion to copy photos that were brought by others. This year, I published my 10 years in the making, his family's name, cookbook, and it's 485 pages, a full-color family tree with charts and maps and documents and stories, more than 1,200 photos with names and all the facts. I printed and hand-bound the volumes for everybody. It was priceless. Oh, my goodness. I want Jerry to plan my family reunion, Edith.
I was reading
Jerry's post.
Yeah,
he certainly is involved. I must say this though, 85% of reunions are planned by women, and this skews a little older. So frequently it's the mother or the grandmother. But when I find a man who's in charge of a reunion, in any way, even a committee, they are obsessive about their reunion. Their reunions get very complicated, and they're really, really fun to deal with because they don't stop. They get a new idea and they just run with it. And obviously, Jerry Swanson is one of those people.
Well, you know, talk a little bit, Edith, and then I'll get Ione also to weigh in on the, I guess, the getting together to really share that family history, to share those photos, so there might be that maybe it's not a bound a book, but it's in our memories, or it's in a maybe it's scanned into a computer.
Yeah, not just scanned into a computer. There are very few reunions that I've been to, and I'd be interested in. And Ione's, I'm sure it's the same way, where people have large exhibits because. If the reunion is originated by either the genealogist or family historian, the person who's into that, this is a captive audience for that person. Mm-hmm. This is the audience that they're looking for as they do their family history. I don't think people start out thinking that, but as they accumulate things, they want to share them. And the people that they share them with are obviously their family. It's a little bit parochial. You're not going to go out and tell your neighbors about a great find, but they're not going to be interested in the details. And there are all kinds of family history kinds of activities. Tours that Ione was talking about, that many families have, their things about their own history. A family may go on a tour of the town where their grandparents lived, and look at the homes and the churches and the places where they worked and the places where they went to school and the parks where they played. And frequently, families will be doing oral histories. They'll be talking to the older generation. And I think it's fun if they talk to the kids as well and then 25 years from now share what the kids had said on a tape. But there are just all kinds of activities that families can do just around their family history. Forget about going to Six Flags America. If they have some family history to share, the family I was talking about, the Seidemans, have a huge pole barn that's just full of exhibits of things that they have collected. Mm-hmm. So the family history is extremely important, and doing things around the family history is important at reunions.
Ione?
Yes, I think that is great, and I think that the example that we just heard is really
very, very wonderful. There are, of course, many ways of telling the history that families have used. And part of the fun of my research has always been to watch the how people are so creative with their families. And so there are many ways of telling that history through family plays and the videos and slides and historic fashion shows, obviously, the photographs. Even songs have been made up. Some families have made up songs using music that's familiar, but words that go with the family. The cookbooks that families have developed in order to pass on the recipes, and usually if there's a little something about the person who made that recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there are lots of directories and journals that people have put together. I think that is those are wonderful things to continue, help the family to continue to exist, really.
Let me take a call from Rick in Grafton. Now everybody's calling in when we have just a few minutes left in the show. Rick, go ahead.
Yes. How do you get a family reunion together when people are so apart emotionally? For example, my brother's 18 years older than me, and I haven't seen him since 1966. And so, you know, you got, and then of course you have some religious that if you're illegitimate, they don't want much to do with you. So how I've always wanted to be the peacemaker and get the whole family together. We got Scottish heritage, so Scots are known to not really be all that close. How can I begin to get something going?
Yeah, maybe you don't. Your family's not close, but or maybe you don't know everybody too. Tips for Rick?
Well, I think you get started with those people who really are interested in coming, and would be interested in knowing or seeing each other. You have to really kind of reach out, I think. And then perhaps from that, you know, it can grow. I think lots of families complain about the fact that sometimes they can't get everybody there. They're always wishing that one more family who didn't show or who didn't come would be there. So that's not unusual, but you just have to kind of start with those who are interested and those who will attend.
I did have a relative who said, was not interested in meeting a bunch of relatives that he didn't know,
mm-hmm.
and because we don't know everybody, especially the
younger. You hear that all the time.
Yeah,
that happens.
Yeah,
yeah.
In our, I guess, in because we only have a minute to go. Edith, some final thoughts on maybe why we might want to at least reach out and try to get the family together.
Well, I think Rick's idea that there may be some problems with different members of the family, and Ione's idea that you have to just keep working at it. And when we talk about these large family reunions, we're talking about people who have been doing this for many years, and they started someplace too. And it's just something you have to keep working at and working at and working at. And frankly, if the family members who are there have a great time, enlist them to tell their, you know, the people they're close to that you've got to come next time because it really was fun, or we learned a lot, or we met all these wonderful new people. And regardless of the condition of their birth, if they're members of the family, they are members of the family, and that's extremely important to keep in mind.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there because we're out of time. Thank you both very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Ione Vargas is with the Temple University Family Reunion Institute, and Edith Wagner is the editor of the Milwaukee-based Reunions magazine. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Justin Williams for producing and directing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.